Hi, I'm Stunning Stella Cheeks.
And I'm the Enigma Erin Klein.
And this is Not Your Demographic, a feminist wrestling podcast.
Shockingly, those exist.
So, a little bit of housekeeping up top. This will be the last episode of 2017.
Goodbye, trash year.
You know what? Everyone, like we all said that last year. All years are going to be trash from now on.
I fucking guess so.
Buckle up.
I guess. You know, in hindsight, I prefer the year where all my heroes died, to be honest.
Yeah, this one was not great.
Not great. 2018.
But 2016, looking better. Felt worse because there was, like, hope.
Yes, you're right.
Whereas this year, it was just, there was no hope. It was just we had resigned ourselves to the trash. So I feel like...
And by the time, like, November came, there was actually a little bit of hope.
Right.
Like, that was, kind of, like, almost...
It was like the reverse of 2016. So 2016 felt worse to me.
Yeah, I can see that. I was thinking about this the other day. I saw somebody ask on Twitter, like, when was the last time you wept or something like that? And I was thinking, like, I cry all the time, so I need to think of, like, when was the last time I, like, really wept? And I remember, I wept when Trump got elected, not because it was, like, I was, like, realizing everything that was happening, and I started thinking about the Supreme Court, and I will never forget this. It's, like, burned into my memory, and I was, like, crying, and I asked Michael, I was, like, what's gonna happen to the Supreme Court? And just started like soul weeping. Like I've never cried so hard in my life. And that was the hardest I had ever cried. And then this year, when the Virginia election happened and all of the reports came out that Virginia had gone blue, I wept again in the same way, but it was like out of such pure joy. It was so weird to be like, this was almost exactly a year apart. So it's weird to
it's
like
sort of a flip flop.
Yeah, to like have that hope stripped away, and then like at the end be like, hey,
but hold on to those like dumpster fire. Like 2016 was the dumpster fire. 2017 was the like meme of the like
this
LA
is fine.
Burning, and then just like leaving 2017 or whatever. That's one housekeeping thing.
Yes.
Another housekeeping thing, we're going on a short hiatus in January.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
We're going to take a 3-week break, and then we'll be back the week before the Rumble. Mm-hmm. We're just going to do a little maintenance and take a little bit of a break, because we've been going nonstop for, like, over 2 years.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're just taking a tiny break. We still will be doing the wrestling shirt challenge.
Yep.
So you can still tune into our Twitter and our Tumblr to see all of our posts and still, like, obviously interact with us. We're not, like, going on a real hiatus. We're just not posting a podcast for 3 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, in the grand scheme of things, is not that long.
Yeah, that's true.
And we'll be back the week before the Rumble to talk about that and do our predictions, and then, obviously, after the Rumble. So we'll be back for the important stuff.
Yeah, I feel like we're basically just taking the 3 weeks off until like now it's wrestling season.
Yeah.
We've got to be really engaged.
Yeah.
We're like, we'll just self-care a little, back
self-care,
up a little.
And then maybe like revamp some of the podcast, the way that we approach it and things like that. Speaking of that, I'm going to put out either tomorrow when this comes out or on Saturday, just like a little podcast survey. So if you are listening, go to our Tumblr and fill out that survey. That would be really helpful. And everybody who participates in the survey will be like entered into some kind of like contest where you can like win some Not Your Demographic merch. It's very helpful for us.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, you can get free swag for just clicking yes and no on things.
Very easy.
Very easy.
Very easy.
I think that's all housekeeping.
All right. Excellent. Yeah, that sounds good. I don't have any housekeeping, obviously, because
yes,
you're in charge of all
I
of that.
I keep the house.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
How are you?
I'm good. Christmas happened,
mm-hmm,
which was great. I had a great Christmas hanging out with Michael. We did where I got into the fight with my grandma. That was before Christmas. And so for actual Christmas, we did Michael's dad's family on Saturday and then his mom's family on actual Christmas. And both of them were great. There was a little racism at his mom's one, and I was just drinking a beer, and they started saying, like, vaguely racist, all super liberal, union card carrying, but
I mean,
yep, and so it was like,
good white liberals.
Yep, and so I was like, this is my in-law family. I was like, I have to hit like a certain line before I can like really flip out here. And all of a sudden his cousin, who is like 20, she'll be 21 in like a month. She's just like, her fuse hit a lot faster than mine did. And she was like, why are old people so racist? And it was just like calling people out. And her mom said something like, so-and-so Shanique with this. And she was like, why can't her name be Carol? Why can't we call her Susan? And I was like, damn, okay.
Also, Shanique was a beautiful name.
I know. It was just like really weird. And I was like, okay, this is okay, great. This was excellent. It was like a really nice reinforcement. When Trump got elected, I was hanging out with his family because it was Thanksgiving right afterwards. And we were all like very upset. And they all still are very anti-45, which is like brings us all together in the end. But she was in London when that happened. And so this is her first time like being at the family like post-election. And like, I think she's like newly woke. And I was like, this is so great. I'm so happy for you. I'm so glad I don't have to do
feminist.
This. Yes, exactly. Absolutely. I was like, oh, I'm so happy. I'm so glad this is happening. So it was nice to get that on top of it. And at Michael's dad's Christmas, his cousin got me really stoned. He was like, here, have this taffy. And I ate it. It was 25 milligrams. And I was like, oh, I'm high as fuck now. It was excellent. Every like 40 minutes he'd come and tap me on the shoulder and be like, wanna go to the garage and smoke some more weed? I was like, are you trying to like hit my limit? Because you're getting there. You're getting real fucking close. Which has never happened to me before. I was like, oh, I'm gonna have to tap. It was great. So it was super fun. How was your Christmas and shenanigans?
Mixed bag.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So we had Christmas Eve with his family, which was really nice, and his family is very generous, so we went to a very nice fancy meal. That was really nice. And then we went on Christmas Day. We drove up to my family. Totally fine. And then, like, the last half hour, we drove in a whiteout. And it was like, I posted a photo on my Instagram, and it, like, that wasn't the whiteout. Like, it was a whiteout. Because I wasn't taking photos during the whiteout because I was clutching onto the sign. Fucking terrifying. Mm-hmm. It was so scary. Nick did a really good job driving. And then we spent Christmas Day with my grandparents and my great-grandmother, and I called my mom, and she lives in, like, the country, and I was like, I'm not fucking driving out there. I will see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas. It is scary. And she was like, I totally understand. So we spent all Christmas Day with my grandparents and my great-grandmother and just had a really nice Christmas. And then my grandparents took my great-grandmother home. She is 96. And then they came back, and the, like, independent living place that she lived at, they called and they were like, so she passed away. It was so bizarre. It's so bizarre. Like, my great grandmother has been on the brink of death for a long time. A long time. She's 96. This time, though, it was like kind of different. Like, there's a moment during the day when I was like, I think she's gonna die in this chair. Like, she was like mentally there, but like it was just hard for her to breathe, and it was just like, but my grandparents like took her home in the like whiteout, and they were like, you know, any other time we wouldn't do this, but like, this is gonna be her last Christmas. Like, we know
yeah.
that. Like, when I said goodbye to her, I was like, that's it.
Yep.
This is weird. Whatever. And we weren't super close, but we had gotten closer, whatever. But she had my uncle and his kids had been there like the week before, so she got to spend like all week with them, and then like it's kind of like she was like waiting.
Yeah,
the only person that she didn't really get to see was my dad, and those two, like, they were really close. So my dad is not doing great right now, which is like sucks, but it was like a meet. Like, she didn't even make it up to her room.
Whoa.
Yeah, like, my grandparents were like, do you want us to walk you in? And she was very stubborn and was like, no, I'm fine. And also, like, there's, like, nurses and stuff in there. She, like, got to the elevator and died. Isn't that insane?
You texted me because you bought that.
I, like, posted that tweet of, like, my great-grandmother gave me $100. And she was very adamant. She was like, I want you to buy something frivolous, something that you wouldn't buy with your own money. Buy something. And I was like, I have the perfect thing, Grandma. Don't worry about it, Grandma. I got it. And so I posted that tweet, and then like 5 minutes later, it was like, oh, my great-grandmother is dead.
Yeah, I looked at the messages that you sent me, and they were literally like 12 minutes apart. And I was like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
I was sitting next to Michael, and he was like, wait, what? It was so sudden. Like,
I think you're sudden.
I think you're right that she did everything she basically needed to do.
My grandpa was like marveling. He was like, yeah, she just definitely just hung on for that. And it was, like, done. And, like, my grandparents are handling it very well because they're the ones that have been taking care of her. And they obviously had all the plans. And so it was just kind of, like, it was surprising how it happened, but it wasn't surprising that it happened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was just, like, a weird Christmas. And then we, like, because we were, like, upset, but, like, not, because it wasn't surprising, but it was, I don't know. So then we just all watched.
The timing is just like.
Yeah. So then we all just watched Raw together. And my grandpa just made a lot of weird commentary. And I was like, yeah, this is like weirdly healing. Because he can just make fun of me and I can like be all like, oh, you don't get it. And like, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it was very bizarre. Super bizarre. And then I spend the next day with my mom. And then my mom, if you will recall, last Thanksgiving, the previous one, 2016, bunch of her family, like, bailed on her after she, like, did all this stuff. Surprise, surprise, they did it fucking again. And I wasn't joking. I was like, this is a litmus test to see which one of you fuckers is invited to my wedding.
Yeah.
Guess what? A lot of you failed. But at least my mom was really, instead of, like, I know she was hurt, but instead of, like, being upset about it, she was more like, you know what, fuck them. And I was like, finally! Good.
Finally!
So it was me and my grandma and my uncle, Chet, that's his name, and my mom and Nick and her boyfriend. And it was, like, actually really nice. It was small, but it was really nice. But it was just, like, a really nice again.
Good. Good. I'm glad that she can finally say goodbye. I just noticed you have a new tattoo.
Oh,
P.S.
And I got I was a
like,
new
what the fuck is that?
And I got a new tattoo. Well, it's step one of a cover-up, so it's just the outline. It's really dry and itchy right now.
Ooh!
I'm not wearing a bra, so part of my boob hanging out.
Yeah, I've never seen that before.
Yeah, so it's a fruit bat covered by fruit. These are dates, and those are plums. And it's just the outline right now, and it's really scabby.
When did you get this done?
Saturday.
Ooh. So, what are you going to put in here? Have you decided yet?
Nothing. It's like a almost half sleeve.
Yeah.
I like that it's kind of like boop, boop, boop.
Yeah, I like that it's like, you could easily put something there later if
yeah,
you want.
Yeah, that's how she
well.
Designed it. She was like, if you want to add, you can, but, like, you don't have to, obviously. But yeah, and then we're going to color it all in, and then bye-bye TARDIS.
Finally getting rid of that tattoo.
Bye-bye TARDIS.
Congratulations.
Also, I haven't watched a Doctor Who Christmas special because we watched Raw instead. My grandpa was like, oh, you're staying here? We're going to have to watch that stupid Doctor Who, and was, like, being really funny about it. And I was like, or we could watch wrestling. I don't know. And he was like, you know, I know a wrestler because, you know, we have DirecTV, and sometimes there's, like, commercials that they can't play because of regions, blah, blah, blah. And they always play this one commercial. It's a wrestler, and it's him and this little girl with a teacup. And I'm like, oh, that's Roman Reigns and his daughter. And he was like, she's very cute, and it's a good commercial, but I see it so much. But then, like, throughout Raw, he would be like, oh, there he is. And he had to, like, make comments about it. And I was like, yep, this is the one person you know.
Mm-hmm. It's Vince McMahon's plan is working, apparently.
Yeah, he doesn't know John Cena, but he does know Roman Reigns.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's the test. Take a casual viewer and be like, who do you know? And it's more and more has become Roman Reigns. My boss knows who Roman Reigns is, and the only other person she knows is The Rock. It's happening.
It's all happening.
It's all happening.
Yeah, so that was my mixed bag of a Christmas.
Well, good mixed bag.
Nice Christmas, also, but my grandma died.
Ba-ba. Here's a present for you.
But we're not doing presents
no,
tomorrow.
No, this is not for your real name, real life name. This is for Stella Cheeks. To the stunning
says
Stella
Alexis.
Cheeks. Well, whatever.
This is hilarious. Did you guys buy this when he was buying a bunch of shit from the TNA? That's so funny. This is a set of the TNA Knockouts playing cards.
Mm-hmm. There's one more thing in there as well. I want to make sure that that doesn't get lost.
That's so funny. Ooh, this is old school. Like, Victoria is on here.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I love that. That's amazing. Why did you put all this stuff in here?
Because I had to cover it up so you couldn't see it.
Where did you get this?
I got that from the pro wrestling tee store.
I've never seen this one. And now I have a Vicky Guerrero, excuse me, enamel pin.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Merry Christmas, stunning Stella Cheeks.
Okay, but I have your gift for you, but it is wrestling.
Yeah, I found those and I'm glad that
Taryn Terrell, they're like in Cabaret, they're like Moulin Rouge
oh, yeah,
knockouts.
I can't wait for you to open them up and take pictures of how fucking awful they are definitely gonna be.
Dang, Gail Kim does not know how to pose. She's very beautiful, but she is just a wrestler. The opposite. This pin is hilarious. I've never seen this pin.
I've never seen it either, and I was like, I have to get this for Stella.
Excuse me! I love it.
Merry Wrestling Christmas.
I love that I get two personality presents.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I'm glad it worked out this way, because, spoiler, I'm giving you art. You and Emily are both getting a piece of art, so this
it's
way
it's not a spoiler, because you already said that.
Yes. Well, it's... I definitely decided that's what I'm doing, clearly. But I was like, this would be weird if I gave you your, like, Stella gift at the same time. Like, sorry, Emily.
Yeah, no. This works out. Thank you.
Yeah.
What wrestling merch are you wearing?
I am wearing my Dalton Castle shirt, because we totally forgot to mention last week that Dalton
Castle...
Because
we didn't watch it.
I knew it. I just totally forgot to bring it up because I didn't watch it. Dalton Castle's the new Ring of Honor champion.
I love seeing the photos of him and the whole regalia with the belt.
It's so good. I love it. He's so happy. I'm so happy for him. He totally deserves it. He should have been champ a year ago, but I'm glad that he's the world champ now. Like, I'm so glad. I hope that he holds it forever. I love him. And I'm also wearing my Rosemary hat. Not for any reason other than it's comfortable and warm.
It's very cute.
Thank you very much. What wrestling merch are you wearing?
Well, I have to grab it because I'm not wearing it.
You're wearing it now.
Yeah. Uso style.
Uso style.
I'm wearing my new WWE SmackDown Women's Championship. Because Nick told me he would never buy it for me, and then he did.
I knew that was a lie.
And I was like, well, now you got to buy the NXT one and Money in the Bank.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And he was like, what? And I was like, haha, not joking.
Need a full set.
Full set. Isn't it pretty? It's prettier than the Raw one.
Like, I prefer the SmackDown one.
I wanted the Raw one first because it had the, like, posterity of being the first one. Not the first one, but, you know, the, like... The first one post Diva era and like whatever, but like this is the prettier belt.
Oh yeah,
the
for
blue
sure.
is so pretty.
Yeah, I really like it.
I love it. Mm-hmm. But now I actually have to hang them because like I had the Raw ones sitting out cool, but like they can't both sit out. I actually have to hang them.
Yeah, they have to go together.
And now I can go to both shows and wear. Because remember when we went SmackDown, Nick was like, "Why are you wearing a belt?" And I was like, "Cause we're at SmackDown. That's a Raw belt. Now I have an accessory for all shows."
The best way to mark, I guess.
I love it.
It's very pretty.
Oh, also, Nick bought me a hilarious signed photo of Drew McIntyre, but it was when he was like a tag champ with Cody Rhodes and looks like a fucking dork.
Dork.
But he did get me a hot like playing card of him.
Yeah, he got you the Topps card.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Drew Boos.
He looks like a super doofus in that
photo. I have to get Cody to sign it too.
Oh, yeah, you have to.
Be like, look, I love Drew McIntyre, and you're in this photo, so sign.
Yeah. That'll work.
I mean, if I give him $10, he'll sign it.
That's
he
true.
Doesn't care. He's got to keep up with his new bleached hairdo or whatever.
Maintenance for that is very expensive.
It's true. Yeah. Should we talk about news?
Yes, I guess we should.
Wrestling news. There is so much, but I didn't write any of it down. Paige is maybe hurt.
She's off live shows. They said she just got, like, a stinger. That's all.
Yeah, I watched it. I mean, it looked like she got, like, whiplash or something. Like, it didn't look insane or anything.
Right, yeah, yeah.
It's not like when Drew popped his bicep and you could tell immediately.
Very gross. Oh, yeah. I didn't write
it. It was, like, so gross.
Yep.
There are rumors that they are not letting Hideo do the GTS anymore because he smashed Brian Kendrick's face to bits.
But it's his move.
Yeah, well, he like broke Brian Kendrick's face.
Yeah.
His like whole face.
I mean, Nakamura broke Austin Aries' face.
Yeah, but I guess Vince likes Brian Kendrick more than Austin Aries.
You know, you're probably not wrong. That's disappointing. That's like losing the curb stomp. It's such a good finisher.
Oh, yeah, the curb stomp was so good.
So good.
Seth honestly has like kind of been like plateaued since they took the curb stomp away from him.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because he's a good guy now and he's boring.
Boring.
Also, apparently the only not replaceable member of the Shield, which is really weird.
What do you mean?
Like... Roman got pneumonia or fucking meningitis or God only knows what and was immediately replaced with pick someone. Like, they put...
Oh, it was Angle and
yeah,
then...
Yeah, and then Triple H. Yeah, and... so, like, he could be replaceable, and it was still, like, okay, well, there's still this, like, fun Shield thing, and now Dean is hurt for, like, the first time ever.
9 months!
9 fucking months he's gonna be out. 9 months! Insane. But, like, never has been hurt before, so... He also was at, like, a weird plateau.
He was the Iron Man, and now it's one of the Usos.
Yep, mm-hmm. He made it to Grand Champion before he got hurt, which is insane. Like, that alone is bananas to me. So he'll be out for 9 months and was immediately replaced with Jason Jordan. Like, it made it seem like that tag team didn't matter. It was just two strong people. Dean Ambrose is hurt. He'll be out for 9 months.
He can eat all the donuts he wants!
Immediately replaced with Jason Jordan. Like, so that's what I mean. Like, when Seth left the Shield and turned on them, it's not like they replaced him with someone else. It's like the Shield just ends if Seth isn't there. And so it's weird to have watched everyone else in the Shield get hurt and be out and have him just be like, still here!
Woohoo!
Still looking like Jesus, plateaued here, not doing shit. Like, it's very weird.
It'll be interesting to see him be champ with Jason Jordan, especially how he was, like, all cocky, like, oh, I'll be better than Dean. Oh, I won the champion. Like, mm-hmm. That'll be really interesting, the dynamic of that.
Yeah. I mean, it seems very similar to the way that they put the bar together, that it's two guys who are singles wrestlers who are now being forced to be in a tag team.
Yeah, but they at least had, like, a previous story. Like, they've been having, like, building this Jason Jordan is a, like, entitled little prick storyline.
Yeah, that's true. And I guess if you're going to have somebody turn on someone, like having someone turn on Seth Rollins will feel very satisfying in a way.
Yeah.
And be good for his babyface character. God knows he needs good things for his babyface character.
Speaking of the bar, so everyone was sending me this photo of this woman carrying a Sheamus' daddy sign. Oh, and as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, I know her. I was like, oh, she's a New York-based burlesque dancer. We've been in, like, several burlesque festivals together. Like, we're not friends, but we're friendly.
Yeah.
Like, we're Facebook friends. Like, we were talking about the photo. And, like, so everyone was sending it to me, and I was like, yeah, I know her. Great minds think alike. Sheamus is daddy. Apparently, it was a quote from a Jericho thing. Like, Cesaro said it. But, like, also, like, I would call Sheamus daddy. Anytime he wants. I got people to agree with me after months.
I still don't get it, but you know,
he's
you do you.
Super hot.
I just don't get it, but that's
super
okay.
Super hot.
Again, I to each his own.
But I just think it's funny that a bunch of people were like, hey, you would like this. And I was like, yeah,
they
I know
what
her.
Your brand is.
I know her.
Your brand is real strong.
My brand is very strong. Mm-hmm. Speaking of my brand, Matt Hardy is entering to piano music at house shows.
Yes.
It's not the same one, but it is still just like classical Beethoven bullshit, which is amazing. Please, I want Rebby at a piano at WrestleMania.
Yes.
With baby strapped to her.
Yes. One on each side playing around.
That's all I want.
I'm so into it.
So good. Queen Rebecca shall rise.
That's right. Do you think that they'll bring Karma back as a legend pop for the Royal Rumble?
She's very popular with GLOW right
now.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking as well.
I don't know, because Matt is there, but Rebby is not signed with them.
Yeah,
and also when does WWE ever really care about anybody's feelings?
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe if they're not going to sign her and it's just a pop, because I don't think she would sign.
I don't think she would
filming
either.
And stuff. It would be a good pop for her and for them. And she wouldn't necessarily have to see Rebby.
Yeah.
So, yes? Right. I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say yes as well. I feel like because of GLOW, they're willing to, trade on that, pop culture currency, especially the road to WrestleMania.
The road to WrestleMania. I think that's really it. There's a bunch of people shit-talking. Everybody be shit-talking.
Evergreen. That could mean anything.
Evergreen. You know, wrestling.
All right.
Hashtag wrestling. Oh, big news in my life. I got approved to write about pro wrestling for my sports blogging class.
Excellent.
I was he sent an email and I immediately was like, hi, really looking forward to this class. Just want to clear a few things up. I was prepared for him to be like, no. But he just was like, I've never had somebody cover pro wrestling. I would just want you to, focus it a little bit. And I was like, cool, done. Thank you.
Awesome.
I was prepared to be like, here is why you're wrong.
Yeah.
Here's why you should let me. No, I've had some ideas and people have, floated some ideas for me. So I think I'm just going to have kind of a short list and go in and talk about it next week.
Yeah.
Because I have some ideas, but, you know. I don't want to do just women's wrestling because it seems too broad and there are women's wrestling blogs, but also it would be very easy and on brand to do that. Not easy, yeah. But like, it would be a good focus.
Right. And it's good to do stuff that you know and are good at, right. too. Like, while it is good to challenge yourself, it's also good to be like, I'm right. good at this and I want to hone these specific skills.
Because as much as, like, I want to be like, oh, I should do it, like, just focusing on stardom, like, I would have to start from ground zero.
Yeah, exactly.
But if I did, like, something broader, I could incorporate stardom into that.
Right, exactly.
But there are also some, like, I just don't want to, like, limit it. I don't know. I have to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be fun, and I get to write about wrestling a bunch. Yay. And get a grade for it and pay money for it.
Yep.
But still get a grade for
it. But get credit for it.
Get that degree, that sweet, sweet degree.
Gotta get that paper.
Get that degree. That's it.
All right. Excellent. Should we talk about wrestling or whatever?
Yeah, wrestling or whatever.
All right.
Things that happen. Okay. We are going to kind of just talk about very loosely. We didn't really take notes because we're kind of going to do a year-end review right. thing. So we're just kind of loosey-goosey talk about wrestling. That's why at the beginning of the episode we were pretending to be geese.
Yes, exactly.
Now we are the loosest of geese. Loose geese.
Loose geese.
Who let the geese out?
No.
Apparently, so my grandpa has an Alexa. And apparently he... Anytime they talk about me, the Alexa turns on.
Oh, yeah.
My real name is Alexis. So, like, Nick bought an Alexa with his money from my great-grandmother. He spent his frivolously, and now we have an Alexa, but we have to call Echo because my name is Alexis.
Yep.
But apparently my baby cousin, who was, like, 3, would always run up to the Alexa and be like, Alexa, who let dogs? Who let dogs? And then it finally learned that she wanted it to play Who Let the Dogs Out.
Oh my God.
So it just plays who lets the dogs out. It took me a while to figure out how to make it go into Brie mode. Because you can't just say play Brie Bella's theme, because that won't play. You have to say like WWE, CFO, blah, 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 bullshit. But you can teach your Alexa skills.
Oh.
And I'm going to teach her the skill, Alexa, go into Brie mode.
Yes.
And then she's going to go, Brie mode.
Oh my God.
Or Echo, go into Brie mode. So that's what we'll be doing with our Alexa.
I'm so glad. That is the perfect use for that. I'm so happy.
And then every time we say Brie mode on this podcast in the room next week, right. We'll just be like,
Brie mode. And you'll hear Nick going, God damn it.
Immediately, every time I would do it, he'd go, Alexa, stop. And we'd go, Brie mode, Alexa, stop. I love it.
I'm so happy. That's excellent.
I watched Raw with my grandpa.
Yes.
Which was fun because we were watching the Cruiserweight thing and there was like a 450 splash and then the beautiful lumbar check and I was like, oh, it's so great. And my grandma goes, I don't give a shit. And I was like, how can you not? It's so beautiful. He goes, I don't give a shit. And I was like, oh, grandpa, if you're not going to fall in love with wrestling this way, I don't know how. Yeah. This is the most beautiful like sequence all night.
Maybe he's a Drew Gulak. Maybe he's not into high flying. He wants to see people just beat the piss out of each other.
He really just cared about Roman, I think.
See? I think he wants big dog to do big dog things.
He said, John Cena's not very exciting. Elias nope. looks like a wolf man.
True.
He thought Roman Reigns had a nice voice. Oh, it was pretty entertaining.
Well, I mean, he's not wrong about any of those things, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, not very exciting, John Cena. Because I was like, if you had to make out with one, which one would you make out with? And he goes, I don't know. That one's not very exciting. That one looks like a wolf man. So the show opened with John Cena and Elias singing a Christmas carol and then whatever. Beating each other up.
All right.
It's good that they feel comfortable putting Elias with John Cena, that yeah. They think that he can stand its own with him, and he did.
Yeah.
So that's good. Good news for Elias.
Yeah, Elias has really, like, come to his own this year.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Failed miserably at NXT.
Really killing it on the main roster.
Killing it on the main roster.
The opposite of the NXT problem. Like,
yeah.
I can't think of anyone else that that's happened with where they were not, like, Apollo was... eh on NXT and is now eh on the main roster. Like, and there are people who were great on NXT, like the Ascension, who come up and then it's like,
yeah,
this is bullshit until they're part of the Fashion
Files. And then there are people who do transcend, like Kevin Owens.
Yeah, exactly. And like, yeah, Sami Zayn.
He is like, Sami took a little bit, mm-hmm. but.
And Neville, same thing, where he came up and like they totally changed Neville. Him.
What a sore subject. Dave Tommy did the Rings of Saturn.
I know.
It's like a big old slap in the face.
Yeah. It was like, Vince was like, well, no one's using that finisher anymore. Here you go.
And Deo was like, all right.
All right.
Respect me.
I watched SmackDown and 205 Live with Andrew, who had never seen Hideo Itami, and Hideo just started yelling, "Respect me!" And Andrew started laughing, like, hysterically.
Really?
Yeah,
because I was into it.
Well, he has no context for it, right. So it is very weird to see this man, like, beat the shit out of someone and then be like, "Respect me!"
This, like, awesome man, though.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
The thing is, and I'm not comparing them because, like, they're both Japanese, but they came from, you know, they had big hype around them. I've always been way more into Hideo Itami than Nakamura, and I still feel that way. Well, there was that Omega quote from earlier this week where Omega was like, they haven't done anything good with Nakamura. And it's not his fault.
No, but, like, his booking has just gone to WWE garbage.
And has, like, had mediocre matches.
Yeah, like, his matches with Kevin Owens have been good, but at this point, like...
They've been few and good. Far
between, also.
But it's not like how, you know, AJ came in and had some, like, really phenomenal matches. Yeah. I hate using that word. Whatever, we get true. It. He's the phenomenal one. Nakamura has had good matches, but honestly, like, the peak of Nakamura's WWE career was his first match.
With Sami Zayn, I totally agree. And I also feel like I just want Nakamura and AJ Styles. Like, Nakamura needs someone to push him, and at WWE, he cannot do shit.
He's selling tons of merch. He don't care.
He doesn't give a fuck. He's like, I'm 37. It doesn't fucking matter to me anymore. I'm like, respect. I understand that. And also, like, why kill yourself when you're wrestling 300 days a year if they're not doing shit with you? Like, to be saddled to Randy Orton and Jinder Mahal.
To Randy Orton.
It's just...
like, what a nightmare.
Oh, man.
Saddled.
The most exciting moment of Nakamura's year at WWE was his face-off with AJ Styles at Money in the Bank. And, like, that was because AJ insisted that they do it. Like, they just don't seem to give a single shit about Nakamura. It's, like, put him back in NXT for fuck's sake. Like, let him have fun down there. Like, it's... I don't know. It's very frustrating.
But it seems like even though Hideo was popular in NXT... it seems like he's getting a pretty big pop on the main roster.
It's weird. I feel like sometimes people care and sometimes people just don't give a fuck. But I think that's part of the problem with the cruiserweights in general. Yeah. Like, you can be super over with the crowd and then sometimes they just don't give a fuck about those segments.
I mean, when his music hit, when he did that thing with Finn, everyone was like,
wah! Yeah, everyone was really hyped for it. That's true.
And then he, like, broke Brian Kendrick's face in half. Nick was like, oh, he, and I was like, no, that's how the GTS, and then they slowed it down, and I was like, oh, nope, you're right, he broke his face, oh my god, he broke his face. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, Grandpa, see, it's real.
That's my favorite, when someone gets legit hurt, and you're like, listen.
It's real.
We told you it was real.
But also, it's not supposed to be like that, but, like, it's real.
It's dangerous.
Yeah, for sure.
Poor Brian Kendrick. How long is he going to be out?
I don't know. His face is broken.
I mean, Austin Aries was out.
Do you remember when Naomi had that, like, fly... when her orbital bone was broken, she had that, like, fly eye patch.
Yeah, that's true.
But that's because Naomi's the best.
Yeah.
We can't all be Naomi.
Yeah. I mean, Brian Kendrick is a pirate, so... if
that is true. Oh, my God. Anyone else
can get away with it.
He could totally rock that.
Totally rock an eye patch. Get, like, a big... like, it's funny, because at first I'm picturing him with, like, a big-ass, like, brown leather patch. But honestly, I would rather see him in a Battlestar Galactica eye patch that's, like, nude-colored and has the weird strap on it. Oh, I'm totally into that.
No, I want him to be full pirate. Full pirate.
Leather with, like, a carving in it.
Oh, terrible. Super terrible. Roman and Samoa Joe had some Samoan violence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was fine. It was good. It was just, like, it felt placeholdery.
Yeah, which is weird for...
because, like, Joe is in this, like, feud with The Shield and JJ and, like, but then that kind of got...
yeah.
Sidetracked. whatever. It was fine.
I did like that Dean said to Renee that Dean could, or Dean, Joe said to Renee that Dean could be home with his loved ones for Christmas to Renee, who was not there.
Also,
clearly.
She made the best face. She was like, I hate you.
Yeah. I thought that was excellent. That's such good heel work. Like, ooh, ouch.
Joe.
Joe. Samoan violence. Yeah. Good sum up. Good summation.
Who did Braun Strowman fight? Oh, the Mistourage. The no, Mistourage caroling, right?
Oh, yeah.
They were like caroling. Isn't that what happened?
Yes, I think so. I remember that them in the, right. The outfits.
Man, Ms. Caroling is my favorite. I'm into Ms. Caroling.
Of course you are. Well, yeah. Mrs. Bay.
Why wouldn't I? Also, I also really love Bo Dallas and always have.
Yeah, and I really like Curtis Axel. He really makes the best out of every bad situation
he really
he's
does.
Been in.
We're Team Mistourage. They're great.
Good for them for working consistently in a company that is determined to not let them succeed.
Determined. But when Miz goes away, they trust them enough to put them on a ton of the show.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they had several backstage segments.
Yeah, that's true. You're right.
The one with, like, the girls where they were just, like, staring at them, like, what the hell are you guys doing? That was pretty good. We did have a 3-on-3, so it was Mickey and Bailey and Sasha versus Absolution. Mm-hmm. I thought it was pretty good. I mean, it's, like, it's weird because, like we said earlier at the top of the show, we're so close to wrestling season, but it's also, like, everybody was wrestling at Christmas. Like, nobody's...
Yeah, exactly.
I have been, between this and then her NXT performances the past couple of weeks, I think that Sonya Deville is doing a really good job.
She seems to be, like, improving every single week,
yeah,
which is
nice.
Yeah,
and her promos on NXT have been, like, you know, they're, like, backstage segment type stuff, but, like, she's been doing a good job. She's not great at the, like, in-ring promo, but, like, the backstage like, in,
yes.
like, in-your-face type thing is mm-hmm. good.
She
had that sick clothesline on Sasha on
oh
the
my
outside.
God, she looked like she oh. fucking murdered
but
her.
Sasha also takes, like, the...
She's a cartoon.
Yeah, she is a cartoon.
Yeah, absolutely. She like, did the backwards wave, basically, when she hit the ground, which was cool. I've noticed lately, too, I feel like they're... starting to use their backstage promo stuff more effectively.
Yeah. Sasha
like
has gotten a lot better lately.
Yes, I agree.
Noticeably better.
Yeah, it's like they finally realized, like, if you let your backstage
have
people
have some personality.
Exactly. Like, the reason that Michael Cole has done so well is because he started out doing that. Like, that's why people love Mean Gene Okerlund. Like, it's because they have personality
but
and are their own
characters. They
just
want the women to be, like, pretty faces.
We're so pretty. Hold this microphone. Like, no, it's so... Like, watching... Kevin talked to Dasha and have Sammy in the background, like, jumping around.
Yep.
And she just made this face like, ugh. Ugh. It was just perfect. It's like she's really figured out. She doesn't have to be a big cartoon character like they have to be in the ring sometimes. And,
right.
like, Renee has had to learn how to doing, like, more in-ring and more, like, pre-show panel stuff. But Dasha's, like, got that look. She's, like, figured out how to work with the camera in really close range, which is, like, a very different skill than most people in the company have to have.
Yeah.
And she's definitely getting better. And I love it. I think it's great. Make all the announcers women. Let's do it.
Yeah, make them women, but, like, let them have personalities.
Yes, also. Very important.
I like this route that they're going with Rhino and Heath Slater, where Rhino's like, we're gonna get tough. And Heath Slater's like, I got kids. I don't know. I don't know why I got kids still works, but it does.
It really does.
It really does. Also, it was funny to have, like, Kane versus Heath Slater and then Rhino on the outside because Nick just having, like, a funny, like, mayoral commentary the whole time. And we were trying to explain to my grandpa, like, the guy in the mask is running for mayor in, like, a town in Tennessee. He's a libertarian. This guy on the outside, he ran for mayor in Dearborn, Michigan. And my grandpa was like, wait, Dearborn? And we're like, yeah, not mayor. He ran for House of Representative.
Yeah.
And he was like, wait, Dearborn? But that's like, and we were like, we get it. We know he lost. He was very confused by all of the, like, political aspirations.
WWE fosters that somehow. I don't know. I guess when you meet a bunch of people, you're like, I can do this in
I
a different.
This.
Yeah, you can, like, do this in a different capacity.
Finn Balor versus the saddest Curt Hawkins.
That photo of him with his daughter was
so
cute.
But also, A, I like this route of Curt Hawkins being like, you know, I have this streak. It's fine. It's not the streak I want. But then also, like, Finn Balor.
That poor guy.
Like, not over.
It's so weird. Like, it's so weird to me that Vince McMahon can look at Finn Balor and be like, you're not over, when he also watches the entire arena do his entrance with him every week. Like, if nothing else, he gets a crowd pop, and you can continue to push that. And he carried NXT for, like, a year. Yeah,
he really did.
And so it's just so strange to watch him be on, like, the low card. He's just been, like, demoted so far. Put him in a fucking tag team. Put him in the fucking cruiserweight division. Who gives a fuck at this point?
At this point, yeah. If you need another injection into the cruiserweight, fucking Finn would do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And he clearly weighs less than 205 pounds. Fucking throw his ass in there. Like,
little frog weight.
Yes.
Matt Hardy sneak attack on Bray Wyatt. Snuck attack? He snucked on him.
He snucked up on him.
Matt Hardy snucked up on him.
Mm-hmm. Bray Wyatt. Not the only one who can magic or be sneaky with...
Sneak magic.
Sneak magic.
Snuck magic.
Snuck to magic.
He snucked up on him. Mm-hmm. Straight snucked. This is a good feud. I really hope that it ends well.
I mean, they're clearly planning to put everything they have into it because they're going on the 205 Live tour as well, which is very weird.
Wait, Matt and Bray are?
Yes, they're like part of the attraction.
They needed to get a pop, I guess. Yeah. Even though 205 Live is such a fucking good show.
I don't understand why they're running it in the area that they're running it. Like, why wouldn't you run it in, like, the Philly area or the Chicago area where indie wrestling is...
Aren't they running on the East Coast?
It's in the upper Northeast. Oh. It's like Maine.
I don't know. Maybe Maine needs wrestling.
Right? I was like, did they look at the demographics of who's watching 205 Live and, like, pick this area? Like, it doesn't feel like it. It's very... It just feels like a really weird choice. It was probably money-motivated.
Everything is money-motivated. It's the WWE.
Yeah, you're right. I know.
We did get Drew Gulak dressed as an elf.
That man is a treasure.
And we got this hilarious gif of Cedric Alexander with a candy cane doing, like, a little shuffle before he, like, hits somebody with a candy cane. This proves it more than anything that the Cruiserweights are the new Divas.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. They get all of these shit
but
specialty
they
matches.
They also did a good job. It was funny. And and it was still a good match.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of times with the Divas, because the women weren't given time and a lot of the women...
Sucked.
They weren't good wrestlers. Whether they didn't want to be good wrestlers or, like, they weren't
it
given...
It wasn't important for
They
them
weren't
to
given
be.
The opportunity. It wasn't important. But, like, these people are actually very good wrestlers, so the gimmick matches work in a different way.
Yeah,
but also, like, y'all the Divas.
Yeah, y'all got
Divas. I mean, the Divas never had their own show, but y'all the Divas. Yeah. Y'all got Divas.
I mean, the Divas do have their own show. It's called Total Divas.
No, but I meant, like, they never had their own, like, wrestling show.
Yeah.
Also, Nia almost kissed Enzo. But Alexa saved us all.
Naya, I really need you to come with me.
Naya, we gotta talk about the Rumble right now. Naya's hair, this new, like, colorful braiding.
I love it.
I love it because she is a woman of color. So I like that with Naomi a lot too this year. This year specifically, they've let the women of color really, like, have identity through their hair.
Yeah.
Naomi had braids. Naomi's had this, like, excellent weave. Naya's got braids. Sasha's gone through so many different variations. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a time where it would just be, like, let's try and have the black girls have, like, the most, like, Beyonce white hair that we can.
You mean like Foxy?
Like Foxy, but now, like, the fact... I know it doesn't seem like a big deal, but, like, the fact that they are allowing women of color to have braids is, like, a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not...
And also, Nia looks amazing.
It's not just Carmella, Liv Morgan, Nikki Bella with braids, which feels weird because it is weird. It's very
culture.
Well, I mean,
like, two, like, French braids or, like, a French braid is one thing, but, like, she has, like...
Yeah.
Braids.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they look so good. I'm so glad.
And all the color. Oh, yeah, I love it.
It's great.
I just think, like, you know... Year in review, the history of hair, the way that they've been allowed to, like, have more identity through their makeup and hair, like, instead of just all being the same.
I mean, that's why I've said in the past that them making Ruby grow her hair out makes me sad, because it, like...
But they still let her have a whole
have the side shave, which I would never have let her do in the past, but it does feel, like, clear at this point that they were, like, grow her hair out. And so it's weird to watch that piece of her identity be taken away, even though she still gets to keep this, like, very stark contrast. But I agree that it they would never have let her do that in the past. Even to let Sonya wear her hair in fucking cornrows and, like, fighter's braids it seems like a step in the right direction.
I like that there's a variation of, like, looks and stuff in a way. You know, we can talk about makeup, but, like, you know, makeup is, like, a war paint. Like, it is an intimidation. And the way that there are, you know, Paige's whole thing used to be, like, I'm the anti-diva, I'm not tan, I'm not this, I'm not that. But there are so many different looks now.
Right.
And not all the looks are othered. Like, they are, but, like, nobody is being like, Naomi comes out here with braids. Like, she is one of the biggest baby faces. Yep. Like, I just think that's, like, a really important step. And also, Naya looks great.
Yeah, and also, Naya looks great. Always here for Naya looking great.
Always here for Naya.
I am interested to see where this storyline with her and Enzo is going. I'm, like, confused by it, but also, like... Whatever, I guess. If they're not making it, like, a bad thing that Enzo was into her. So it's like, okay.
We'll see. It wasn't, like, gross and creepy with, like, the Lana stuff.
Right, exactly. Yes. So. That's right. I had completely forgotten that was the same person. Or the doll
stuff, to be honest. Like, where she, like, totally, like, became him, like, a mini version of him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, subsumed his identity.
Yes.
Then there was that one time where Asuka kicked Alexa cold out in the face.
Yep.
Which was awesome. And Alexa sold that beautifully.
Looked like she was dead.
It was just, like, a perfect, like, back and forth. Like, Asuka talked very minimally, but it was, like, the perfect amount. Alexa was so shitty and, like, just the, like, kick out smile. Mm-hmm. Like, it was so good. It was so good. A little
shimmy dance.
It makes me think that Paige is going to win the Rumble and then Asuka is going to get the belt before WrestleMania.
Yeah, if Paige isn't injured. I mean, she took that stinger.
That's true.
So, I think that'll depend on it. But so it could be that instead Asuka wins the Rumble and then Paige wins the belt or something.
Something.
Yeah. Oh, also, but correction.
Asuka versus Alexa is exciting to me.
Yes, I agree. Also, correction from last week. Let me ask you this. Hey, Stella, do you remember who won the Royal Rumble last year?
Randy Orton.
Yes. Last week we were talking about how last year a Raw person won the Rumble. Not the case.
Well, you said that. I didn't. I wasn't wrong. You were wrong.
You didn't even... never even crossed your mind. I couldn't even remember who it was. Just Randy Orton. Definitely was a Raw person. Yeah, it was definitely Randy Orton. I completely forgot that he won the Rumble. Completely forgot. He wasn't even close to the main event at WrestleMania. It, like, never even occurred to me. He and Bray were, like, the third to last.
Yeah, they don't even care. It doesn't really count.
It's so bizarre. I hope that now that they have two Rumbles, they'll fucking stop saying main event WrestleMania. Like, you win the Rumble to win a championship opportunity at WrestleMania. Yeah. That makes way more sense.
Randy Orton won the Rumble last year. That's totally, so funny.
Totally forgot.
Man, remember when he won and we all were like, at least it wasn't Triple H.
Right?
We were all like, Dean! Oh, Randy.
Randy. Apparently he's taking a bunch of time off in 2018.
Randy, take all the time off you need.
I mean, what's going to happen is he's going to take all the live events off and still be on TV just as much.
Oh, Randy.
Disappointing. Other wrestling things?
Shane's a big old baby.
Shane is the biggest fucking baby.
I love that moment at the end of SmackDown where AJ was like, I really want to hit you.
Yeah.
Remember when we had a feud? I'm not over it.
Right?
I'm like, fucking with my shit. And Kevin was like,
I'm sorry.
Woo! Break that champagne out, Daniel.
Oh, and Daniel Bryan ran the ropes after SmackDown, apparently, which...
Yeah, did you not see the video of it?
Did not, no.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't do anything, but he did hit all the ropes. He did the, like, cross thing with him and Sami Zayn, where they were running back and forth.
That's crazy to me that they let him do that in front of an audience. I don't think
he was supposed to.
Yeah, probably fucking not.
He was like, cameras are off! Like, what are they going to do? Fire me? I don't even care at this point.
That's right. His contract's up in, like, what, 4 or 5 months?
He don't give a fuck.
He don't give a fuck. You're going to let me wrestle?
He's like, I'll retire, and then Brie will come back, and I'll watch Birdie. Mm-hmm. We got it all figured out.
Right? I'll watch Birdie on the road at Ring of Honor.
Wink, 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 wink.
Brie already said yes. He can wrestle at Ring of Honor if he wants.
Shelton and Benjamin are heels.
Shelton and Benjamin?
God, Shelton and...
Gable?
Gable. Gable and Shelton Benjamin.
I love that. I don't...
Well, he should change his name. It should be Shelton and Benjamin.
Shelton and Benjamin. All right. I mean, I like both the names Chad and Gable. The company of Shelton
and Benjamin.
It's just too good. You can't not say it. I liked how the Usos were like, American Alpha... that's not who that team is. Because they don't have a name.
Yeah.
And so everyone keeps calling them American Alpha 2.0. And the Usos...
But they're heels now, right?
Yeah, they have to be.
That promo at the beginning of the show was like, y'all are bad, right?
Yeah, which is good because they're both good heels. Yeah. And, like, they need to be separated from American Alpha. And they need a fucking name. Like, people are going to continue to call
Shelton
them
Shelton and Benjamin.
No.
No? Not no. Right?
All no. Right. Mm-hmm. Gable's too good to... You can't leave that suplex off. You can't make him change his name. He's good, too.
Rusev Day!
I love them so much. So much. They're such a good tag team.
It's so weird how good they are.
It's so weird. Like, immediately. Just so good.
So weird.
Give them a belt. I'm already over on them. Give them the belts. I'm ready. That... Just that Survivor Series match... Or not Survivor Series. That is not the name of that pay-per-view.
No, not even close.
Clash of Champions?
Yes.
That, like, I don't know why, but all of a sudden they were just, like, infectious. Like, it was working until then, and then watching Aiden English sing that whole song and just being, like, so hyped for them just carried through to the other side. Like, they're just over. It's so good. They're both such good heels. They're both, like, they are just very cohesive. I'm so glad that they're a team and it's not just his manager. They're so good at it.
Between Rusev Day, the Usos, the New Day, Shelton and Benjamin, the Ascension, Fashion Police, and the Bludgeon Brothers. I know there are two different storylines going on, but like, what a fucking great tag team. Name, for that's that seven.
Yeah.
Tag team division. Name seven. That's seven.
Yeah.
Name four on Raw.
The Bar. Shield 2.5. The Club. There has to be one more. Oh, Rhino and Heath Slater. Two-man pool. Is that it? I think that might be it. I don't think there are
any. Mistourage?
Yeah, Mistourage, kind of? I guess. I think that might be it.
Like,
oh, that's bad. They're where SmackDown was 8 months ago.
Yeah, but they just took the New Day from Raw. Yeah. They were like,
oh, well, it was a revival. I knew there was another one. They're back
Oh,
now.
They're back. They're back. Yeah, yeah, that's true. Oh, God, they need to be back.
Thank God they're back.
They need to be back.
Thank God.
God. Give the revival the belts. Get it off Shield.
Truly. Shield 2.5.
Get it out of here.
Get it out. We're done with it. We're done with it. Yeah. And like, it says so much that they were willing to open up their post-pay-per-view show with two tag team segments back-to-back. Like, that is so crazy to me. Like, that says how much they really are letting them do their thing, which is great. Build your divisions. It's the smart thing to do.
Wow, is that your new song?
Yes.
Well, Shelton and Benjamin are the number one contenders now.
I'm glad. Good for them. They fucking
That's what they're
it.
Called now. I don't even care. Shelton and Benjamin.
What about Suplex and Benjamin?
Nope. Calling them Shelton and Benjamin.
Terrible.
Shelton Benjamin. Oh, they also have that United States Championship.
Oh, yeah. Now Ziggler's only wrestling house shows for some reason. Why don't we just take him off of everything? I don't understand.
I don't know. Your dream is kind of coming true with the Ascension and Bludgeon Brothers.
Yes.
And it's kind of coming true.
It's weird because this is not the way I would have envisioned it, but I love it. I love that the Ascension is just like completely, they're just doofuses. They're such doofuses that they're like, we're going to make this right for you guys by ensuing a rematch between you. And they're like, wait, what? No.
But then at the end of it, they were like, no, we're going to defend our friend's honor, Bludgeon Brothers. Like, yeah, like it's kind of happening.
It's sort of working. Like, I'm glad. It is working. It's weird, but I love it. Like, I'm totally here for
it. If we get to see the Ascension actually wrestle, like,
yeah,
for realsies and not just get, like, squashed.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice? Naomi versus Ruby Riott. And it was a pretty short match because it was, like, we all ganged up on her. Riott Squad beat up Naomi, and then Charlotte came out. But then the welcoming committee came out. And
yeah,
it was like,
I loved that.
Rumble, rumble. But it was cool to see the Riott Squad, which is three people, and the welcoming committee, which is four, 3.5
people.
People.
That was the best use of Lana they've ever had. Be quiet, walk in a straight line, look mean. She did a great job.
Wear your spats in the right order. She's been doing a better job. I think somebody was like, hey... That's not how mirrors work. Right?
Good. I'm glad.
I've never, ever seen that on anybody else. Like,
it's hilarious.
Lots of people have, like, sayings on their spats. Mm-hmm. Crush Lana.
Crush Lana.
But she's been wearing right. Mm-hmm. I've been noticing, so.
Girl, you're getting it.
She figured out how mirrors work.
Proud of you. I'm very proud of you.
I'm very excited for all the build-up to the Women's Rumble and all these, like, run-ins and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
I'm excited. Because they're going to use everyone, right? They have to.
They have to.
They have less than 30 people, so...
Hey. Well, I hope they... Well, there's that... There's, like, talks, like, is it going to be 30? Is it going to be 20? I hope it's 30, because they could easily get to 30 with, like, NXT people, their rosters, plus...
Plus some legend pops.
Some pops, yeah. Yeah.
Do it like a real rumble. It's a real rumble.
Do it like a real rumble. Do it like a real rumble. Do you want to rumble? That's my song. Baron Corbin and Bobby Roode had a very boring match.
Unsurprising.
To be honest, I don't even remember who won. Bobby Roode, I think?
Yeah, I think Bobby Roode won.
Great. Glorious.
Fantastic.
And then Baron Corbin just is continually...
Wasn't that part of the tournament?
Yeah, it's part of the United States tournament. Because then it was Ty Dillinger versus Jinder Mahal.
Which I did not watch a single moment of, which is sad because I love Ty Dillinger, but yeah. I was like, I know how this match
but
is going to
end. Unfortunately, the perfect 10 got his perfect butt beat. Mm-hmm. Though I think he, like, bloodied Jinder's mouth, so, like...
Good for him.
Good for him.
I also loved the Singh brothers coming out being like, he's going to be your new United States champion. And they like looked at each other for a second and I was like, shade.
Shade. The Singh brothers are the best. Singh brothers. I'm a fan of the Singh brothers.
I am too. I like them as the Bollywood boys. I like them as the Singh brothers. They're really good. They are better than J&J Security. And I loved J&J Security.
Oh yeah.
Loved them.
So funny how much happens in wrestling.
Oh my god, so much. So much is different.
So much.
But also nothing ever changes. Like, it's a hard combination of both.
Yeah, it really is.
How long has Brock been
there? He doesn't count.
That's what I mean, though. Like, some things change and some things are like, this will never change.
Some things never change. Mm. Well, in NXT, we have a new number one contender.
Yes, we do. Mr. I was Johnny really Wrestling. Surprised.
And Aleister's streak is undefeated. Or it has been broken. His undefeated streak is broken. Mm-hmm. But in, like, a great way. Like, to lose your undefeated streak in a Fatal 4 way against two behemoths and then be pinned by the number one contender, like...
Yeah.
That, like, and to also be taken, like, shenanigans with Undisputed Era, like, he's had to lose it sometime, and this time...
Are they counting it as the end of his streak?
Because I don't know.
It's not, he's, because that happened with Asuka, too, where she wasn't the one who was pinned, but lost in a tag.
But he was pinned.
Yeah, so that's why I wonder if it means that they'll count it.
I bet they
it.
Do.
Okay.
Because he is not unpinned anymore.
But no
she
one
was
is,
unpinned.
And no one has kicked out of the Black Mass still, correct?
Correct, because he hit the Black Mass on Lars.
Okay.
So that is still true.
All right. That's good, then. That's good that
and
he
still has
protection.
And there was, like, so many other things going on that it will be easy for them to, like, be like, well, he lost, but, like, kind of not really.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, that was so smart, because, like, to have, because when he beat Adam Cole, I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. Like, I'm glad that he still has a streak, but, like, you know, Adam Cole is the newer guy, and they're really building him up. But, like, to have him, Adam Cole and Undisputed Era come out and fuck around with Aleister Black during this Fatal 4-Way, like, that made sense. And also, like, how are you going to keep Aleister Black and Adam Cole out of the main belt picture? Oh, yes. You're going to put them in this feud. That's really smart.
Yes, I agree.
And also to have it be Johnny versus Almas. Great. We know they have great matches.
Yep.
I don't know where Ciampa is in his recovery, but, like, he's you can do it.
Getting close.
Right. You can do it many ways. You can have, like, Johnny beat Almas and then have Ciampa come back, or you can have Johnny lose because Ciampa fucks around with him. Like, there's so many different ways that you can do it. You know, for him, also, like, quote, not supposed to be in this tournament, like, it was great. And also, like, Johnny's such a good underdog. What a good underdog story to, like, not supposed to be in this tournament. You have these two fucking giants in this match, an undefeated person, and you win.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's incredible. That's
such a good underdog story. I totally agree. Oh, I love Johnny, too. He's so great. Yeah. I like his WWE shirt, too. I kind of want to buy one.
Feel free. I bought that Alicia Fox shirt.
That's true. You did do that.
I did.
I wonder, too, like, I feel like the best way to bring Ciampa back is to have Zelina bring him back.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
to fuck around.
Because she's been the one who's like, here's this shit. I'm going to remind you of all this. And, like, this isn't going to work this time. Guess what I brought instead? Like, ooh, I'm so into that.
That's a great idea.
I would love that.
But again, I don't know where he is in his recovery because he has a caveman beard. And not a good one.
No, it's not a Matt Cross beard. It's just like
nothing can be a Matt Cross beard.
I know, that's true. It's like he took garden shears and was like, snip, snip, and that's the extent
this
of
is my all beard now. Yeah.
This is how I live my life. Oh.
Shayna Baszler choked out Kairi Sane, so Shayna's there. Also, there's rumors that they're not doing a four horsewoman thing anymore.
Yeah.
Because, like, two of the four don't
aren't training.
Or aren't training or whatever.
Yeah.
So even if you have Ronda, like, it's still just going to be those two.
Yeah.
Which is not four. Two is not four.
Two is not four. Just like three was not four during all the May West.
The May West.
Every single time. May Young Tournament.
The May West Classic.
That's probably a burlesque event of some kind, actually.
Should be.
Or a drag event.
The May West Classic.
Oh, I'm so into that.
NXT has been really good this past couple of weeks. There have been some really good matches.
Yeah, I agree. They're...
NXT there has been a lack of the iconic duo, though. I guess, no, there was that match with Peyton, but, like, I just want more.
Also, maybe they're phasing them out of
more
NXT.
More iconic duo. Anywhere. Roster. I want them anywhere. Just give me more.
What roster would you put them on?
I mean, my gut's a SmackDown.
Mine does, too.
But SmackDown has so many heels.
Yeah, that's true. They do have a lot of heels.
Charlotte and Naomi are their only baby faces.
Ooh, you're right.
But the iconic duo just feels better there.
Yeah. And also, I want Peyton and Ty Dillinger to be on the same show.
Yeah. For their love.
Yes. All three of them can travel together in the same car. Almost certainly. Which I'm cool with. But I do feel like maybe they would be better used on Raw. Oh, there's a lot of heels on Raw, too. There's just a lot of heels. A
lot of heels. A lot of lady heels.
A lot of lady heels. Yep. A lot of heels...
In general.
Full stop.
Full stop.
It's much easier to get over as a heel in WWE than it is to get over as a face.
Being a babyface is like
it's very hard.
It is an art that not everybody can master. Because remember, like, Finn was a great babyface in NXT, but then he came up to the main roster and was like, "Das ist Balor Club."
Yeah.
And everyone was like, "Get out of here. Nobody wants to join your club." Take your water bottle and go home.
Give him the club. If you're not going to give them to AJ, give them to Finn. Give him two giant body. Let Luke Gallows carry him around on his shoulders. Let's do it. It worked before. Let's do it again.
Yeah, I don't know. Did you watch Total Divas?
Was there a new Total Divas?
Yeah, but it was basically Alexa being like, hey, grow up. And then Lana and Natty being like, we're sorry. And
Lana almost
killed herself on a cliff. And then Brie was
like,
I can have it all.
Yeah, that's true. Why are Brie's storylines all, I can have it all? This, I feel like she had looked at the list and was like, I'll do the I can have it all. And Naomi was like, I'll do the having relationship problems.
Oh my God, that was so funny. That, when they were like pretending to like pick each other up in the bar. And
in
that,
the
like,
middle of the day.
And that woman who was the bartender like could not keep her shit together. We just kept rewinding and rewinding to watch that woman's face. It was so funny. So funny. And she, like, was clearly, like, trying to, like, get out of the frame, or, like, the producers were, like, get out of the shot, but, like, the bar had, like, mirrors in the back, so you could just kind of see her in the background the whole time. That was my favorite.
She was great. I did love that the thing that worked for her was when he said that her dress looked like a Durex condom, because it did. It definitely did. Like, I love the way that wrestlers dress in public, because they dress like porn stars, and it's like...
They do. Like, women wrestlers.
Yeah, they have these, like, banging bodies that they have to get custom-fit clothes for, so why not get, like, the most ridiculous bullshit you can? So I love that she's wearing this, like, orange condom two-piece dress.
But she also was, like, trying to she get hit great. On, yeah. You know? She was, like, there to get picked up.
If she was wearing that in a dark club at 2 a.m, it would have been a poppin' outfit, but she was in, like, a Hyatt mini bar. Like, it was ridiculous. It was so weird.
It was pretty dumb.
But I love that when they were leaving, she was like, come take it off me. It was, like, a nice little moment where it was like, oh, yeah, we did this silly thing, and, like, now we're for real gonna go fuck. Like, we did this thing where we got to, like, play around.
Bang it
and
out.
Now we're gonna go bang it out. Like, so I like it. I think that they're an adorable couple. Totally. Also, he likes drive-thru spaghetti, which I am still so into.
Why?
It reminds me of Fazoli's.
Oh, Fazoli's. Get out of here. Okay, let's do our 2017 wrestling in review.
All right, let's do it.
What are your overall feelings, Erin?
I feel like, kind of like we said already, I feel like it has been a year of, man, some things are different, and yet some things are very much the same.
It's been the highest of highs and the lowest of lows.
Yes, absolutely. Like, it is so weird that this is both the year that we had, were the announcement of the Women's Royal Rumble, and also Asuka has the longest streak in all of WWE, both of days held as a singles competitor, and
the
also
Women's Money in the Bank.
And Women's Money in the Bank, and kinda. Like, we get all of this great stuff, but also James Ellsworth won the first Women's Money in the Bank. Right. Like, it's
and
ups
we get
and
this
downs.
Fake mixed tag thing.
Yeah, and which is weird, and it's been a weird year, but also a really good year. I feel like overall things have been really good, especially for women's wrestling. And, like, Ring of Honor has a belt now, even if they're not doing shit with it, apparently. Right. And also, like, AEW has a women's belt now. I feel like there has definitely been a shift in wrestling, and it has been really good. Also, lately, like, it's nice to see people get to have to face consequences for being a piece of shit in wrestling.
Yeah.
Like,
not everybody, but some of them, yeah.
It's starting, and that's good, and if this keeps going, I'm glad. Like, I'm glad that there has been some accountability in the people being pieces of shit in wrestling. LOL, bye!
Yeah, it does feel like we're moving in the right direction, but, like, yep. 2 steps forward, 1 step back, like, that's just how it is.
Yep,
but overall, you know, and there have been some things that they tried and fucked up, but it, like, it's more, like, the Money in the Bank is the obvious one, but, like, at least they tried it. I'm not giving them credit, but, like, they still did it.
Yeah, they finally did the women's tournament.
And we still do get Carmella walking around with the Money in the Bank. We still do have a women's Money in the Bank, and, like, they fucked up the first one, but we're still gonna get one this year.
Yeah,
like,
that's true. That's a good point. That's a very good point. And it's gonna be in Chicago this year.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
The day before my birthday.
Woo-hoo! Money in the Bank!
I went last year, gotta go this year again.
What was your favorite moment attending a show you went to? Like, an independent show. Or a live one, I guess.
I was thinking about this.
I guess you were at Money in the Bank.
Yeah, I was at Money in the Bank, which was terrible. It was a really horrible moment. I was thinking about this earlier today, and I don't know why, but my favorite moment from this whole year, and I know this is a really bizarre thing, that moment when Bobby Fish tried to fight that dude at AEW is, like, my favorite moment of the whole year. It was just so raw, and it felt so real, and it was also like, yeah, fuck you, dude. It was nice to see Bobby Fish stand up for himself and then, like, immediately join NXT. Like, it was just such a strange, real moment. And to be, like, that, and that was the same show where ACH got, like, thrown into our laps, basically. Yeah. So, it was...
And the same show where Phoenix lost a tooth. And the same show where Michael Elgin was, like, called me ugly.
Yeah. So, it was, like, a very bizarre show. And, like,
it was
that,
a bizarre show.
That moment in particular was just, like, it just really stuck with me, and I was trying to think back to other things that I experienced at live events, and I was like, nah, that's it. It's definitely that. It was
that's
just
really funny.
I just really enjoyed it. It was great. What was yours?
I feel like I've talked about this so many times before, but it is ingrained in me, and it is one of the moments I will always remember. It was the beginning of the year at an AEW show. It was the Saturday after Trump's inauguration,
mm-hmm.
and Sami Callihan had the belt, and I was there with a friend who had never been to wrestling before. And it issued an open challenge, and fucking Candace's music hit, yep. and it was fucking amazing. And mm-hmm. it was just, like, exactly what I needed. Like, she didn't win, which, like, obviously is what I really needed. But, like, I can't recall popping as hard. Like, I literally grabbed my friend's face and was like, you don't understand what's happening right now. And I was just so, it's just, like, what I needed, and they executed it well, and it was just, like... It just, like, smacked me in the face. Like, it is a moment that I will, like, never forget.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, a good match, too. They had, like, a mini match, and then they had a match. And it was really good. And obviously it ended with shenanigans and OI4K, like, fucked it up, but, like, whatever.
Still good.
It was great. And to have, like, you know, this is pre-AEW having a belt and, like, post them losing, like, all of their girls, basically.
Yeah.
And so it was this, like, weird limbo time for them with, like, women's wrestling. But, like, having that was, like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Good. I needed this.
Good, good, good.
So.
Yeah, that's a great one.
It was so good. What's your favorite pay-per-view from this year?
I'm not sure, to be honest. Like, there are so many that kind of have all run together for me.
I have a cop-out answer.
Okay.
I'm counting the Mae Young Classic. That's totally a cop-out answer, but, like... We waited so long for it.
Yeah.
And did it have problems? Yes. But overall, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was exciting. And, like, should it have been not released on a Monday? Yeah, that was fucking dumb. But yeah. I also got to see, like Mia Yim in fucking WWE and Tessa Blanchard and, like, all these people. And it was, like, very emotional. And, like, I love that dumb missile song now. And, like, mm-hmm. it just, yeah. like... I know it wasn't actually a pay-per-view, but I'm fucking counting it.
Yeah, and it's hard, too, because I feel like there are some things that I remember and I really enjoyed from pay-per-views, but I can't remember being like, man, that whole pay-per-view was awesome. Yeah. Like, I just... And again, there were so fucking many this year with WWE. It was like...
There were so many.
It felt impossible to keep up. It felt like they... Like, my problem with New Japan is that it gets so oversaturated so quickly that it's really hard to watch everything. And I felt that way with WWE this year. And it was like, I had to prioritize WWE because, like, that's a thing that we talk about all the time.
Right.
And so I'm excited that they're scaling back next year and are going to be doing less of them. Because I want to remember and be like, that was dope. I really enjoyed that. Like, the Hell in a Cell. Actually, you know what? I think that might be my answer because that fucking match with New Day and the Usos was so good that alone, I think, made it.
But we also got Sasha and Charlotte in a main event.
Yeah.
Like, that's incredible.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. So I think maybe that Hell in a Cell might be my choice.
Yeah, I think Mae Young Classic and Hell in a Cell are great choices.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
What was your favorite wrestling surprise this year?
This is another one I had trouble thinking of. You know what? I liked Sammy rescuing Kevin. That was... Also, wasn't the fucking Festival of Friendship this year?
Yeah, I think so.
I picked that. I picked the Festival of Friendship.
Was it this year?
I think it was.
Oh, man. There's so much that happens.
Obviously, it has to be the Festival of Friendship, because that was, like, one of the greatest moments of all time in WWE. Like, it was just such great storytelling.
Yeah, it was February 13th, 2017.
Yes, I fucking knew it. So yes, that's what I pick. I pick the fucking Festival of Friendship. Both, like, Kevin Owens related events, but his saga of friendship this whole year has been...
Kevin Owens, the saga of friendship.
That has been my favorite twists and turns of the whole year.
That's fair. Mine has to be the fucking NXT where it was just Drew McIntyre sitting in the audience. I am, like, tearing up right now. I'm such a fucking dork. But I was so hungover. I was so hungover, and I had avoided spoilers, and I was just sitting in my robe the day after that takeover watching, and I truly felt like I was gonna pass out. He showed up, and I started screaming, but then, like, got dizzy, and, like, my eyes started to water, and I was like, oh, my God, what is happening? Oh, my God. And Nick was like, I didn't spoil it. I knew it was happening. I knew that you'd be happy. And I was like, I need to hold on to something. And he was just sitting there.
Yeah.
It wasn't like an Adam Cole thing where you had to run it. He literally was just sitting there. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. So that's got to be it.
That's a good one. Oh, you know, slow burn surprise. Another thing that my favorite surprise of this year that I've been the most delighted about is how fucking over Drew Gulak is.
Hell like, yeah.
The way that people Drew's have just gone ape shit for this PowerPoint presentation gimmick that's to the point where they're literally turning him face because he has to be a face at this point because people love him so much. Like, that has been an excellent surprise. I did not think that he was going to do so well, especially when he first came there and they did not shit with him. So to watch him, like, completely turn it around has been such a delightful surprise. And I'm so happy for him because he's the best and is doing just the best work with this opportunity. I'm just so happy about it.
Absolutely. Drew's taking over the world. Drewtopia. Who are your current favorite wrestlers based on their work this year?
Nikki Cross.
For sure.
Ruby Riott is up there too, even though she's only been part of WWE for part of this year and has like really been making the most of it these last 6 months especially. So she'd be up there. I'm trying to be like, what men do I like?
Yeah.
Kevin Owens. It's got to be Kevin Owens. I've been so invested Kevin in Owens, every storyline that he's had. So I feel like he's got to be up there in the top for me. And probably AJ, because he's phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Owens, I feel like Kevin Owens is one of those people that, like, it feels like cheating almost to say it, because he's just, like, fucking killing the game. The Iconic Duo, for sure.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, they went from, we can't tell these two Australian women apart, to, oh my God, the Iconic Duo, where's this shirt? Why can't we buy it? They're amazing. It's my alarm. Like, yeah. I love them. Mm-hmm. Like, and not just, like, their backstage personalities. Like, their in-ring work has improved has immensely. Continued to improve. And, like, I love it. Definitely the Iconic Duo.
We did, like, a Bella-level turn on them. Because at first it
because you always were like, I can't tell them apart. And I was like, they're fine. I can tell them. I could always tell them apart.
Well, they were like, but I mean, like, they were being used. We hated the Bellas. Yeah, that's true.
We did not Bella level turn. I mean, we hated the Bellas.
That's true.
And now Brie Bella is my personal Lord and Savior.
Right? And I fucking love Nikki.
But for sure, the Iconic Duo. Mm-hmm. I also would say Aleister Black because I knew of him as Tommy N, but I had never really seen him.
Same.
And I, like, am all in. Like, he is incredible, and I love it. And I've gone back and watched some of his old stuff. Obviously, like, it feels like cheating to say Drew McIntyre, but, like, obviously forever Drew Boo. And I would say Naomi. Naomi has had an amazing year, and
Naomi
it feels
has had an amazing year.
Very, like, vindicated as a fan, as a ride or die fan. I feel like one of those, like, indie band nerds who is like, ugh, I liked them before they were popular.
Oh, you totally are that person. But, like, four different people.
Naomi is one of those people that I've always just, like, gravitated to and loved, and to see her get over so much and have these, like, accolades and, like, win the belt and hold the belt for a long time and be a really good champ and, like, not
have
she
to
doesn't
drop the
have
belt and still make it out the other side of that and still be very over is hard.
Yeah,
is
and
really
to
hard.
Be over without the belt and, like, cause some people have the belt, like, Jinder, and then they lose the belt and then they are, like, fucking struggling.
No one gives
but,
a fuck,
like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Nobody
so
agreed
I'm,
that.
I'm really happy for her.
Mm-hmm. I would add to my list as well, Breezango.
For sure.
Also in the, like, surprise category where, like, I cannot believe how over they have gotten by not wrestling, like, at all. And they're both excellent wrestlers. Also, fucking Tyler Breeze, Peen Watch. Those new shorts are outrageous. So outrageous. I had Peen so Watch. Many people be like, yo, yeah. Have you seen this?
Them thigh meats.
Oh, hello. So they're up there for me, also favorite wrestlers. And Cien Almos. I've been, like, hard on his side since the moment he arrived. Right. I always predicted him, even though I knew he was going to lose every motherfucking match. And he finally won.
Oh my God, Velveteen fucking Dream.
Velveteen Dream. I completely agree. Another surprise.
That's a Bella-level turn.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That is a Bella-level turn. I hated everything about him when he first became Velveteen Dream, and I am just in now. He is, like, in the groove, and I am so here for it.
Match of the year.
I don't know. It's hard to remember all of the
it
matches.
It is really hard. The two that pop up in my head are the United Kingdom Championship and the Chicago TakeOver.
Uh-huh.
I was there, and I watched it afterwards. It was just
it's
next
a great
level.
Fucking match.
It was next level. And, like, sometimes matches translate on screen really well, but while you're watching them live, they were like, eh, whatever. And like, both. It read incredibly. And also that Aleister Black Velveteen Dream match. Yeah. That match was fucking really good.
That match was fucking good. I really enjoyed that one. Also, the one that they just did on NXT of Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, like...
Yeah, I don't think it's match of the year, but they had, like, really, really good fucking chemistry. Good, though.
It was an excellent match. Like, that... I mean, they've had three fantastic matches together on WWE.
They just have great chemistry. I also think... I think the women's main event in Hell in a Cell and the tag Hell in a Cell were both incredible. Mm-hmm. They were really good.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Absolutely. I also, like, I feel like we're totally forgetting that Lucha Underground exists, and I know there's, like, a bunch of good stuff inside of that I just, am not remembering at all. And, like, I enjoyed Lucha for the most part this year, even though I was, like, confused about some of their booking decisions. Right. But, like...
I mean, if we're talking about match of the year, fucking... A Hell of War match.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. I fucking completely agree. You're right.
Next fucking level.
Yeah, you're absolutely
It's hard
right.
because, like we've been saying, like, there's so much wrestling, and, like, it's what you watch is what's on your mind, and Lucha, because it has a season, it's hard to go back, but, like,
right.
that Hell of War match was fucking
was
next.
Insane. Yep.
Level crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's up there for me for sure.
Absolutely. I mean... Ultima Lucha was amazing. It, like, always
Yeah, top to bottom, it was a good card. Ugh, yeah. Yeah, man, that fucking match was great.
So amazing. Other wrestlers who, like, I love based on their work this year, this is, like, I always love Joey Ryan, but, like, following him on Twitter and, like, just some of the things that he has to say, even if it's just, like, so many people call him gay all the time, and he's always like, literally, what is wrong with that? Like, just his willingness to... speak out about that stuff, I think, is, like,
mm-hmm.
good, I guess. And his willingness to be like, yeah, that's my character. And also, like, Jim Cornette, eat my dick, fuck you, I don't care. Like, I just like Joey Ryan as a person, and I really like his wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I just feel like that follows, like, year to year.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, another Match of the Year contender. The one where, oh my god, Christopher Daniels nearly fucking died in that ladder match. I can't remember who else was in it, because all I can picture right now is him fucking almost dying. But that match was incredible.
Christopher Daniels is so good.
That man has been out here just fucking killing
but
himself
he's so
for
good.
A decade.
He's
it's insane.
So good.
Ugh, he's
and apparently
so good.
Like the nicest guy.
Yeah, he seems like the nicest dude. See, like, his merch stand was right when you came in at Global Wars, and he and Kazarian were just like, LOL, hi, everybody! Like, just seemed like the super nicest guys. I was, like, so into that. That was all, you know, another, not, like, super surprising, but when I met the Young Bucks, they were so nice, and, like, that was a nice wrestling surprise to be like, you guys are fucking great. Like, that was really nice.
Discovering Shotzi Blackheart and Delilah Doom this year was really big for both of us.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, man.
For sure.
All of Rise, like,
Rise.
Yeah.
Favorite.
One of my favorite live show moments was when we went to Rise and those guys were sitting in front of us and we were like, you guys are a delight. And they were like, Stella Cheeks and Aaron Klein.
Your favorite moment can't be being recognized.
Well, no, because it was like, everyone was so happy to be there and it was just such a great experience and to be like, man, you guys are cool. And then have them be like, we know who you are. It was just this like amazing moment of like, man, this is great. This community can be really fucking great. So that's another like favorite live show moment.
Biggest letdown this year.
Money in the bank.
For sure. It can't be anything else. It's Money in the Bank.
Fucking totally Money in the Bank. So disappointing.
I, like, wanted to... I, like... The only reason I kept watching is because we do this podcast. I wanted to stop. I wanted to cut WWE cold turkey. I was... was weeping. I was
so
upset. So
angry. I was so mad.
And you were there.
I was
your birthday.
There! Oh, so mad.
People were most excited to watch next year.
I'm really excited to see more of Toni Storm. I don't really know. I didn't know her before the Mae Young Classic, so I'm very excited to see more of her.
Yeah.
Also, she's fucking crushing it, so I'm, like, excited to see that.
I mean, we kind of just said this, but, like, I'm excited to follow Rise next year. I'm so invested in Rise.
Kikyo, I'm so excited she's going to be in Stardom. Like, she's so fucking great.
So invested in Rise.
Ugh, I'm so excited. Kira Hogan, I'm very excited to see more of her. She's the one with the fire weave.
Yeah.
She's great. I'm all in on her. Other people I'm very excited to see next year.
I hope that Spinelli gets more of a character in TNA.
Yes.
I really like her in any time we've seen her live. I'm very happy that she gets, she's got a contract or whatever, but, like, I want her to push through that a little bit more.
Yeah.
Also, person that we didn't talk about, like, who I'm really invested in now, Chelsea fucking Green.
Me too! She's fucking great. Oh, I'm all in on Chelsea Green. I like Chelsea Green. I like Laurel Van Ness. I think that she is great. I'm also, so for her.
Also, her and Zack Ryder, like, flirting in Instagram comments, I am
so
here for
cute.
It.
They're so cute. They're the best. Ugh, I love it. Yeah, I definitely want to see more of her. Again, trying to be like, men! What men do I want to see? Who gives a fuck, yeah.
Who gives a fuck? Next barrier that needs to be crossed.
Oh, actually, I've got a guy. People I'm looking forward to seeing more of. The Carnies. I really liked them.
They were so cool. I liked them a lot.
I really, really enjoyed seeing them at Chikara, and I'm absolutely here to see more of them. I really enjoyed them. They were great wrestlers, and their gimmick is cool, and, like,
yeah.
I like their look. They both seem really good at what, and, like, really in love with what they're doing, too. So I'm...
For sure.
I definitely want to see more of them next year.
Next barrier that needs to be crossed.
They need women's tag team belts.
Yeah, or a women's mid-card or something.
Some other kind of women's belt that's not just, like, all we do are the championships, and that's it, and women, that's it. Like, also, Charlotte made some comment about, like, the women's evolution is complete. Like, no.
No, when did she say that?
It was one of those, like, I'm scrolling past this headline, and I refuse to click on this because I know it's going to make me angry. But yeah, she's made some comment about, like, now that there's the Women's Royal Rumble, that means, like, the evolution is complete. Like, nah, girl. Do you have a tag team division on either of these shows? No, it's not over yet. Like, for sure. Also, Jordan Grace. I know her name has a Y in it, and I'm always like, I don't know how to say this out loud. I only know how to read it. She was talking about, like, things that she wants to see in the future from wrestling and independent wrestling in particular, and was like, I want there to be an equal number of men's and women's matches on independent shows.
Yeah.
You know what? She's fucking right. There are enough now that people have asked us in the past, like, what's your perfect split? You know they can't do half and half.
Half and half, fuck you.
Fuck you, half and half. That's why they need a tag division, so that you can split it and it doesn't feel like, what the fuck, why do they get all this time? But also, like, I just feel like women aren't a specialty attraction anymore. And so, if nothing else, you should be doing 1/3, 2/3. Like, at least 1/3 of your card should be fucking women. And if you can't do that, you're not trying. Like, you're just straight up not trying. If you don't have 2 women's matches on a card, you're not fucking trying. Like, that's all there is to it. And, like, mixed intergender matches, okay, that's fine. As long as there are fucking women on your card. And, like, there should be several. There are several men, there should be several women on your card.
Yeah, I think my answer falls into that a little bit. But we need to stop pointing out that this is, like, a big deal, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, it is a big deal, and I understand why it's important to say, like, this is historic, but we need to get to the point where it's, like,
commonplace.
Duh, this is happening.
Yeah, I totally agree. We've kind of gotten that way with men, with women being the main event of Raw a little bit.
Right, absolutely.
Which is nice that we've done it enough that it's not, they don't even talk about it. It's just like, yeah, this is just a thing that's happening. And it's still exciting to realize. Like, I like realizing, like, oh, fuck, this is the main event. Like, that's really nice. And it's nice that it's commonplace enough that that can happen. I want that to continue.
Yeah. Feelings going forward into the new year, into 2018.
I'm excited. I feel like, again, we're in the middle of a good change in wrestling. And I'm excited to see what happens in the next year. I want good things from indie wrestling. And I want good things from WWE and from whatever the fuck that company is called now. TNA? Impact? I don't fucking know. I'm like, I want Ring of Honor to do things with their women. Make them a part of your roster. You can. There are plenty of fucking great women. Sign some of them. Put them on your shows. Like, women have gone elsewhere from Ring of Honor because they use their women so poorly. Like, commit to your women. You can do it. It's fine, I promise. So I feel like that's... I'm looking forward to seeing how people use these. I don't want it to just turn into a fad that they have these women's divisions and these women's belts. Like, use them. Actually grow them. Like, encourage more women to train with your schools.
For sure.
Like, that was another great point. I think Jay may have said that online, Lady Jay, that when you see wrestlers on the road doing seminars, taking selfies with these classes, they're almost exclusively men. Like, reach out to women and put them in your program. Like,
part of the reason that I like Rise so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
They put on these seminars that are like, come train with these women.
Yeah.
Train, yeah.
With fucking Medusa and Bull Nakano. Like, that's incredible. Yeah. Like, Rise has got it fucking right. And, like, also, they turned their DVDs out in, like, 2 days, which is
Rise.
Insane. Like, how? It's, yeah, totally Team Rise.
Wrapping up, we do have one question.
All right.
And we have a couple reviews. So yay. We're wrapping up this year on a high note. This question is from Liam Tite. Says, with 2017 virtually over, how would you compare this year in wrestling with last year in wrestling across WWE and other major companies and indies? I'm not sure myself, as I only watch WWE, and I think that's this year for them has been worse critically, although I thought it was pretty good last year. However, it is obvious that New Japan and Omega are blowing up huge at the moment. What do you think about this year in wrestling compared to the last? So we kind of talked about it, but I'd like to view this question in, like, what do you think of, like, WWE, not versus, but, like, what do you think about the companies and what they're doing outside of WWE? Like, yeah. New Japan, like Lucha, like
yeah.
Evolve, like AEW.
Well, I almost feel like there was an embrace of the idea among the non-WWE companies this year, like, we can't be WWE.
Yeah.
It really feels like that. Like, other companies have separated this year. They're not trying to directly compete with WWE. It doesn't feel like they have
even TNA, who for a long time was like,
yeah.
We are their direct competition. Like,
yeah,
they seem to divorce a little. Not totally.
But they, like, understand that their real competition is probably Ring of Honor. And I feel like it's been really interesting to watch these companies embrace the idea of, like, iPay-per-views and, like, your audience is just in a different place and, like, the idea that the Young Bucks and Cody Rhodes can self-fund and probably fill a 10,000-seat arena.
If it's in Chicago, my ass will be there.
I will fucking be there. Absolutely, I will be there. Like, it's just amazing to watch how much the independents and the smaller companies have embraced...
She did quotes.
Air quotes, sorry. Vocal air quotes. Have embraced the idea that, like, we have our own thing, and if it wasn't good, WWE wouldn't be constantly trying to poach all of these people. And so it's been interesting to watch that, like, split of people who are unhappy with WWE really flourishing on the independent scene and vice versa. Like, people who did very well in independents are now, like, crossing over in a way that they never did before into, like, NXT and the main roster universe in WWE.
And also people realizing, it seems, I mean, I'm not a wrestler, but it seems wrestlers realizing, like, WWE does not have to be my end goal.
Absolutely, yeah.
I feel it like... can still be, and obviously a lot of wrestlers, like, that's still their dream.
Mm-hmm.
But there does seem to be, like, a decent section of wrestlers that's like, it's not my end goal, it doesn't have to be anymore. I can make a living, I can make a name, I can do this.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that's really, like, inspiring, I think.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's nice to watch, like we said... Lots of things change, lots of things stay the same. Like, that is a very positive change just from 2016 to 17. That, like, it is nice to watch the industry form around the people who are there and who are going to come out for stuff and who are going to support. Like, the people who are going to go to WWE stuff are, like this Demi said, they only watch WWE. And so, like, I think it's nice to watch the independent scene kind of embrace the fact that some of those people are never going to come over to the indie scene unless you give them a radically different experience.
For sure.
And I'm glad. It's nice to see this transition.
All right. We have two reviews, but I think I'm only going to read one. And then when we come back, we'll have a review in the tank.
Yay!
Because I'm crazy like that. This one is from Gamble Chance. This is also the person who wrote it on Cage Tight Seats.
Oh, okay.
Like, in case my review doesn't go in. It's called A Weekly Delight. Stella and Aaron are passionate, well-informed, and hilarious. These ladies cover pro wrestling in a manner that is uniquely theirs. While they discuss WWE's weekly programming, they also cover the independent wrestling scene, the nuances of performance art, and an often hilarious Total Divas recap, as well as a slice of life anecdotes. Each episode is a conversation between friends, complete with exclamations and tangents that will often lead to nonsense and laughter, in which the listener is treated as a participant. If you're looking for a unique fan perspective that includes honest, sometimes brutally so, opinions, insightful commentary, and the occasional erotic dream recap, more of these, please. You owe it to yourself to add this show to your feed. A podcast so nice, you'll listen to it twice at the very least.
Ugh. Thank you.
Woohoo.
Such a nice review.
For sure.
Brutally for honest.
Sure. Brutally honest. Sex dreams and tangents.
Hey. Was there another one? I thought you were going to do a
second. Well, yeah. But we're saving. I said there's two.
Oh, I thought you said there were three. But like, when we come
back. No, there's two. Oh. And when we come back, it'll be like, ka-ta. So.
I see.
Don't worry. It's there.
Oh, okay. I see.
Give a chance to people to review too.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they miss us and they're like, 5 stars. We're only coming back if we get several 5-star reviews.
Get on it.
Also, just a reminder, January is 31 days of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love for you to participate. If you pay attention to our feed, we're going to come up with some kind of hashtag. And anybody who can participate in the 31 days with us and like completes it with us,
yes,
we'll do like a shout out and like a special treat. It is hard to do 31 days.
It's very hard.
But if you do it and you commit, light at the end of the tunnel. We'll be doing it. Mm-hmm. We're adding a challenge for us to see if we can do 31 different shirts from last year.
Yeah. I don't know if I can.
We'll see.
But I'm going to try.
I'm going to see how many days I can get with 31 different ones.
Yeah. I need to like look at my ones from last year.
Just be like buying shirts like, oh shit. I need more.
I think I have 60 now, but I also have a lot of tank
tops. I got
rid
of some that I wore last year and like some like,
yeah,
not going to be putting on my Austin Aries one anytime shit soon.
Yeah, I've like decommissioned a couple because I'm going to turn them into part of a wrestling quilt. So like I have some new ones.
But I have a lot of like new independent women's ones, which
that's
I'm
true.
Excited about.
That, yeah, I have a lot more independent
women.
Do
sweatshirts count?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
So just apparel, wrestling apparel.
Yes.
But like, but you have hats, because that's like...
Yeah, that's the hard thing, because I have a bunch of hats now, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll think about it. I'll look at the list of what I wore last year, and if some, I might do some hats. If I can do totally different stuff, including hats, I'll do that.
Wrestling apparel. 31 days of wrestling apparel.
Yeah. Yeah.
That works.
Participate with us. We want to see your wrestling
merch.
We'll
figure out a hashtag. Join us on January 1st for our hashtag.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, that's it. We will see you at the right before the Rumble.
Yep.
So hold on to your butts. We'll be there.
Be good to each other.
Or something.
Yeah.
Is that our thing? Is that our new sign-off? Be good to each other?
I mean, we're going to
You can find us on the internet. Yes. I'm at @Stella_Cheeks.
I'm at @EarnGenC.
When you tweet at us, please use the hashtag NotYourDemoPod, because not your demographic is not helpful.
Nope. You can send us an email while we're on hiatus, so we have some questions and stuff when we come back at notyourdemo@gmail.com.
You can find us at notyourdemographic.tumblr.com and on cagesideseats.com.
And on Tumblr, we'll be posting the wrestling
yes,
photos as well.
Yes, on Tumblr and Twitter.
Yes.
And then also make sure you subscribe, rate, and review.
Yes.
And also share it with your friends. Be like, these girls are on hiatus, but they're so good. Listen to this last episode. It was a year in review. It was so fun.
So fun.
And even though they said they weren't going to talk about every match, they definitely probably did.
Because that's a good window into what their show is like.
They just can't help themselves.
Everyone knows. It's like when we start the episode, we're like, this will be a short one. They're like, 2 hours and 30 minutes.
We haven't had a 2 hour, 30 minute in a minute. So.
I know.
This is still under 2 hours.
Good. Excellent. Happy 2017 or fucking whatever.
Happy New Year, Demis.
Yes.
Primo. Sorry, my grandma just texted me about Glow. I was like, I must immediately respond.